people showed up to a service and didn't bring their supply, and Jesus was limited in what he could do. Amen! That means we don't show up like that. Praise God. We show up ready to praise, ready to receive, ready to dig in faith. Praise God. Bringing our supply to the surface. You know, last week we talked about how important you are in the body of Christ, and that it's not a one-man show. It's actually sometimes even a greater thing, the people that are behind the scenes. You know, you think of the heart, the liver, the kidneys. You can't see them, but they're vital. And you can see the pastor, and yeah, I have a role and I have a part to play, but I'm just one. You're many. Praise God. You keep the thing going. Hallelujah. And so it's the way it is with this church service. You know, God's ready. I'm ready. As far as I know, I'm ready. And are you ready? Are the people ready? And so we need to come as a corporate anointing. The Bible says when they were in one accord in one place, great things happened in the book of Acts. It was when they were together, all one accord. One didn't show up with their own agenda. One didn't show up with their own motives. One didn't actually says they had all things in common. And even so much so, they said that whatever we have isn't even ours. If somebody needs it, you take it. And you know, I'm not telling you to give away all your stuff, but at least come to church ready to receive. At least come to church in common, and one heart and one mind of, Lord, whatever you have for this service, right? Because isn't that why we're here tonight? I mean, what's the point of on a Wednesday night playing? Y'all worked, a lot of you worked all day, worked hard, maybe worked from early in the morning. What's the point of coming to get nothing? You know, we're not here to play church. There's a purpose for every single service, to grow you and to get better. But I can't do that on my own. God can't do that. So make sure you're coming with your supply and leaving what you have. Check your baggage at the door, right? Amen. You know, I remember, I think I was at, it's hard for me to remember this because I try to block those times of being at the gym out of my head. But one sign at the gym I went to one time said, leave your ego at the door, right? You know, some people are lifting a lot of heavy weights, some people are lifting light weights, but you know, leave your ego at the door, leave your baggage at the door, leave your stuff outside, bring your faith in here, your supply in here, hallelujah, because other people need it. It's important. I wouldn't tell you if I could just do this by myself, I'd just do it by myself. But I can't. Praise God. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to Mark chapter 11. And we're going to go one verse over, or one verse ahead of where we looked at for the offering in verse 24. You are going to be happy you came here tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. Really happy you came here tonight. And I'm going to pray in a second, but we've been looking at prayer. And if you didn't get one of those prayer sheets that we taught on last week, a couple things, I recommend that you listen to what we taught on last week so you can see your role and how vital you are. But I'm so thankful God gives us a roadmap. He doesn't tell us how to do it on our own. He tells us exactly how we can pray, what we can say, and different things to get things to work. And if you didn't pick up one of those prayer sheets or you weren't here, listen to that message. Get one of those prayer sheets before you leave. I'm sure we have extra. If we don't, we'll get you one. But be praying that. Amen? Hopefully you've been praying that. It doesn't take very long. I covet it. I crave it. And so please be doing that. And if you haven't, just get on board and get doing it. So praise God. Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Help us, Lord. Speak through me. May my words not be my own, but that of the Holy Ghost. Father, I'm just so thrilled at the turnout here tonight, and I know that you'd be more thrilled, Father. As much as they mean to me, I know they mean even more to you, Father, and so bless them tonight. Lord, it would be tragic to come out to a service and to walk out unfulfilled, unsatisfied, as if it would have been better just to stay home. Father, so do something tonight, Lord. Speak through me. Speak to hearts, Father. If you want to demonstrate in healing and in the gifts of the Spirit, Father, whatever you want, I'll yield to that, Father. We'll yield to what you want. Have your way in this service. But Lord, we thank you. We will be changed. We'll walk out of here going to a new level of glory tonight. We give you the praise. We give you the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Mark 11:24. And we've been looking at prayer, and that's what we've been doing in this fall semester. And I guess you call it a semester, or this time we've had together. And we've been looking at prayer, and tonight we're going to look at the prayer of faith. Glory to God. Now, you know, last week, so you're getting rewarded tonight. Because last week, a lot of what we were praying about, although it will ultimately benefit you if your pastor's around and is doing what he's supposed to do, and it will benefit you if the church is strong and things like that, but tonight's going to be about you, and the prayer of faith is about you and your stuff. Praise God. And it's the prayer of faith is the prayer that changes things for your life. And we're going to look at that prayer of faith, and I'm so thankful, you know, for people like Brother Hagin that that God gave him different steps and stuff in the Word. And that, have you ever moved a mattress before? And I've moved a few mattresses before, and sometimes I don't understand it. Some of the mattresses don't have a handle on them. And they're so hard. You try to grip the little seam thing, and it hurts your fingers, and you can't get around the thing. It's just super awkward unless it has handles. Well, that's the way faith can be. Without the steps of faith, it's almost like you're trying to grasp that mattress. But see, the steps that I'm going to show you tonight put a handle on faith. Amen. They put handles on it, which makes it a lot easier to grasp it. Because God did not make faith hard. And God made faith simple because He knew we would all be at different academic levels. We'd all be at different IQ levels. And so He wanted to reach the greatest of the IQs, the most collegiate and scholarly person, to the least of us who maybe have no formal education and no training extra besides just life and things like that. He wants to reach us all. So faith isn't hard, and He put steps in there to put a handle on it for you so you could grasp it. Amen. You know, there's been mattresses. I can't do this. I need help. I need someone to help me get this thing in. I just can't, there's nothing to grab onto. Well, you're not going to have to try to figure out faith yourself. Faith is so darn simple, I can't even tell you. The devil will tell you it's hard. You see, the devil will tell you you can't get faith. The devil will tell you that your pastor can have faith and the people that we read the books from can have faith, but you can't. No, when I get told thoughts like that, I know the devil's so afraid. Because the Bible says, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you'll be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Every single thing He can throw at you can be squelched by faith, can be quenched by faith, can be shut down by faith. And so, of course, He's going to tell you you can't do it. Of course, He's going to tell you to back off the subject. Of course, He's going to tell you that it's too hard and that you don't have the faith. Well, you don't need a lot of faith. The Bible says if you'd have just faith like a mustard seed. The Syrophoenician woman didn't need a whole lot of faith. She said, "Lord, I just need one of the crumbs." Remember, Jesus said, "No, the bread's the healing bread, the meal's for the children." She said, "I don't need that. I just need what the children waste that falls to the ground." And Jesus said, "Wow." And a crumb of faith got her daughter healed that was grievously vexed of a devil. So don't let this idea that I can't figure faith out. Well, tonight I'm going to break it down so simple for you. The prayer of faith here tonight. Glory to God. Well, let's read where we're talking from in the prayer of faith. It says in verse 24, "Therefore I say unto you," again, He's making it personal to you now, "whatsoever things you desire." See, that's what I was talking about, that this is your reward from last week. These are about your desires. These are about the things you need in your life. These are about the things that you're believing God for personally. Unfortunately, we can't pass this verse on other people's desires. If we could, we could get everybody healed. We could get everybody tithing. We could get everybody in church. But this is about your desires. Praise God. So we get to be a little selfish. Hallelujah. "Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and ye shall have them." So there is what we like to call the prayer of faith. Now, I'm a lover of faith. I love it. It's my favorite subject. You can't even come to church without faith. Why are we even here? Because we believe in a higher power. We believe in a better life. We believe in that unseen realm. And so I love faith. And the reason I love faith is because faith is my part. Faith is the Christian's part in the body of Christ. That is your area of what you need to be an expert at. That is your area of what you need to thrive in, is in the area of faith. Because yes, God is mighty. Yes, God is all powerful. And yes, God can do anything. But He needs somebody's faith to flow His power, His might, and His ability through. Ephesians 2 and verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved." So it's the grace of God. The grace of God is just the ability of God, the power of God, the goodness of God. "For by grace are you saved," but then He says this, "through faith." Amen. We've said this to you before. Faith is just laying a line, right? It's just laying a line for God. And some people lay little itty-bitty lines for God, and He'll flow as much as He can through that little bitty. You know, you think about the firemen and the fire truck. You know, they have those big hoses, and you get in front of those things, it's going to shoot you back. You know, maybe kill you, who knows. But let's say, you know, got a big burning building and the fireman comes up and, you know, they hook up the attachment and they just run this little straw-sized hose through that, trying to put that fire out, right? Well, the power's available, the supply's available, hook up a bigger line to it and put that thing out, right? So faith is our part. God And this is that whole idea of that religious mentality of whatever will be. We know we've been shattering that for 4 years here. That's just not the truth. God needs your faith to operate. God will pass over 1 million people to get to somebody that's in faith. He says, I'm looking across the whole earth to find somebody who will trust me, to find somebody who will believe me. And, you know, we see people like the woman with the issue of blood. A whole crowd was passed over just to get to her. Right? You see blind Bartimaeus, a whole crowd of people who no doubt had needs and sickness and things that needed to be treated, passed over for one man who was in faith. And so faith is our part. I never get tired of faith. I never say, oh, I gotta live in faith. No, see, if you're a lover of your daddy, you're a lover of faith. Because he says without it, it's impossible to please him. You know, Caleb loves this show called Peppa Pig. You really ought to check it out. It's really good. It's on Nick Jr. It's like this family of pigs, and this is awesome. But, you know, when I sit down to watch that show with him, I have better things that I could do. Sure. Well, I'll say it this way. When he goes to bed, I'm not going downstairs and clicking on Peppa Pig by myself. But I'll watch it with him because he enjoys it. Because he loves it, so I want to partake. You might say, and your flesh might not like the life of faith, and your mind might not like the life of faith, but your spirit loves faith. And as long as you are on this earth, if you're going to have anything, if you're going to increase into more, if you're going to get things done for the kingdom, you are going to have to become skillful and proficient in the area of faith. You might as well just start enjoying a life of faith. Just enjoy it. It's putting a smile on your Heavenly Father's face. Faith is your part. Praise God. But here's what we see in this verse. It says, therefore I say unto you, and I'm going to show you the steps of faith. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them, and ye shall have them. What you need to understand about faith is dealing in the unseen realm. There's nothing about faith that is a tangible thing that you can touch or see naturally. If it was, it wouldn't be faith.
That's right.
Because the Bible says that what things soever you desire, so that you have a desire or you have a need, right? It says when you pray, so it tells you a specific time frame, when you pray, believe you receive them. Well, I've used this example. If you're praying for finances and believing God for finances and releasing your faith for finances, I can get up from that place of prayer, up from that place of releasing my faith, go log into mntbank.com, and nothing's changed in my checking account. I can go open up where I keep my money, and nothing's changed in that place. Where my savings account, log in there, nothing's changed. Well, the Bible says I'm to believe that what I receive, I'm believing it when I pray, which means I'm believing in something that I naturally cannot see.
Right.
And I'm getting to a point here, and we know this. And I'm believing in something that is not able to be, to put a finger on and not able to touch. There's no evidence of it in sight at all. And the Bible says that's when you're supposed to believe.
Amen.
But the Bible says believe that you receive them. What? When? When you pray. That means when you can't see it. So evidently, receiving is in two places.
Sure.
Receiving is in two realms, and you need to understand that. Receiving is in the unseen realm, and there's receiving in the seen realm. The seen realm is when the thing manifests. The seen realm is when it shows up, when you can see it. That's receiving it. But the Bible says you receive it long before you ever can see it. Receiving it how? In the spirit realm. And that's what we're going to go with tonight, because that's the whole crux with this whole prayer faith thing, is that you need to be convinced and sold out and fully persuaded that when you release your faith, that thing's coming, even when you can't see it, even when there's no evidence of it, even when things are going the opposite way, even when things are getting tighter, even things are getting tougher, you are to stand your ground and believe it. And if you don't, you'll never have the end of that verse, and you shall have them. So I'm going to help you with that tonight. We're going to see the steps. We're going to put handles on this thing so we can pick it up and take it where we need to go. Praise God. So number one, are you ready for the steps of faith to be a receiver of this verse? Number one, you have to have a desire and release your faith. Now, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt here tonight. There's actually a step before this, but I'm assuming, now maybe I'm assuming wrong, I'm assuming that we're already at this point. If we're not at this point, I want to make it clear what that ultimately the first one would be, but I'm skipping over that because I'm assuming we're there, but if we're not, you better go back.
Sure.
You can't go to second grade without going through first.
Right.
You can't go to fifth grade without going through all the grades before, right?
Praise
God, in a normal situation. And so I'm assuming that before you get to a desire and release your faith for that thing, that you're already past the point of wondering what the will of God is on that subject and if He wants that for you. Because if you don't first know what God's will is and what you're believing in, that He wants it for you, you can't go on to this point we're starting here. So I'm assuming that we already believe God wants us healed. That we already believe God wants us to have a good life. That we already believe that God wants us blessed. I'm already assuming that. Now, if you're believing God for something and you're saying, well, I don't know, Pastor, then you need to go back.
Yeah.
Well, without getting into a huge long road on this, faith cometh, belief cometh by how? Hearing and hearing the word. You need to go back and hear more about what you're believing for. So if you're not at that place, if you can say, you know what, healing is my thing I need. Prosperity is the thing I need. And in your back of your mind, and it's starting to creep into your heart that I don't even know if God wants me blessed. You got to start over.
Yeah.
You got to start over. Because all faith is birthed upon knowledge. Knowledge gives birth to faith. When you have knowledge of something, when I have knowledge of my parents' income and the love they have for me and the care they have for me, that knowledge gives birth to faith that I could ask them when I need something. But if I go to a stranger, Joe Schmo on the street, I have no knowledge of this person, don't know what they make, don't know how they feel about me, don't know what kind of a person they are, no faith at all when I ask for that question. But I can ask my parents in faith, why? I know them.
Yeah.
Same with your faith on healing. Same with your to receiving prosperity. Same with for your children, for jobs, for being bettered in life. So that's number one, but we're going to skip that because I'm just giving you all the benefit of the doubt here tonight. But don't tell on yourself. If you need to go back to point one, just nod your head and say amen, and we'll just assume you're already past that point. Nobody needs to know, right? Praise God. And there's been times. Something will come across my plate, a heavyweight trial, and I'll have to go back to that step one just to solidify myself. Every day, I'm meditating in areas of healing, prosperity, faith. Why? Because when the test comes, I don't have time to go back and get it solidified in my heart. When the test comes, I need to be ready to fire away. I don't need to learn how the weapon works when the bullets start coming at me. I already want to know. Praise God. And so that's number one step. But here we're going to look tonight. Having a desire and releasing your faith. Praise God. Now, I'm going to show you exactly what you do. So you come to pass that first ultimate first point, and you know your healing's what you need, prosperity's what you need, something for your children, something for your business, something for your family, whatever it is. Okay, you're at the place, you know that's God's will. You know it's for you, and not only is it God's will, but He wants this more than anything for you. And you're at that place, so now you gotta release your faith, because just knowing that God wants it for you isn't enough.
That's right.
Just, God wants salvation for everybody, but not everybody gets it. God wants healing for everybody, but not everybody gets it. Just because He wants it, it's not enough.
Right.
You gotta want it, right? You know, I think about, Caleb, when he just got a little Spider-Man bike from his grandparents. It's got training wheels on it. And, he has this little trike thing that he likes too, but we wanted to get him just acclimated to a bike. And I want my son to learn how to ride a bike so I can go with him, but also I know how much more fun he'll have when we go to the park. You know, for his benefit, I want him to do well. But he got that bike, and it was different to him, and it was weird to him, and it wasn't like getting on that little trike and zooming around the picnic table and going along the edge of the deck as close as he can. It was just, you know, it was farther of a fall and things like that. I can desire all that I want that he ride a bike. And I can want that so bad for him. Just because my desire and my want for that is not going to translate into him being able to ride a bike. God can want things for you. God can want it so bad for you. But He can't make that come to pass. You got to want it. You got to have that desire. And just desiring it, well, then you got to release your faith. Praise God. So when you release your faith, here's what the Bible says, and I'll notice this. It says, whatsoever things you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive. So this is what it looks like. You're in need of money. I know it's God's will. I have money for this, whatever it is. Fill in the blank. I know it's God's will that I have healing in my body. I know it's God's will for my children to do this. fill in the blank for your own life, right? I don't need to rehash over every possible scenario that you could be facing. You know it's God's will, so then you say, okay, I believe I receive that amount of money. Now, that doesn't seem very supernatural, but the Bible says when you believe that you receive them, that's the first step into starting to have them. Here's what I want to show you what happens in the spirit realm. When you say, I believe I receive, you get to that place of faith where you know it's God's will. You know it's for you. So now all I got to do is open my mouth and receive that. I believe I receive that amount of money. You know what you did? You just hooked it.
Amen.
You just hooked it. You just hooked it. It's like I used to go walleye fishing with my dad. And I'm not a fisherman anymore, so you know how that went. Real well. I can't actually stand it. And I guess I'll sit in a tree stand all day in negative below zero temperatures and be out and just be in my glory and get me on a nice boat for 2 hours and trying to fish. And oh my gosh, throw me overboard. Throw me overboard. Let me swim for shore. But anyways, I know this, that when you first hook the fish, you don't automatically see that thing. You don't see that thing right away. You know, I like it more of a hunting thing for me. I talked about before is turkey calling. And a lot of times, if you'll turkey call, if you'll get one to answer you, that's almost like the equivalent of hooking a fish. If I can get one to answer me back, I can start to work that bird. I can start to make a move on where that bird is. I can start to do different calls and different clucks and different purrs and different runs with my turkey call that's going to be appealing to that turkey's ears and it's going to help him to come in. And so if I can get him to answer me, you know, more times than not, it's the same way with fishing. You know, not every fish that you hook, you get. And on faith, thank God, everything that you hook, you can get. Unfortunately, it does fall off the line for people, and we'll get to that. And people screw up in turkey hunting. They'll do the wrong calls, call too much, or move, and it'll thing. But most of the time, if I can get one to talk to me, or if you can get that fish on the line, you will see it. But notice you don't see that right away. Sometimes I'll hear that turkey gobble back at me. I don't know how far my ears can hear, but it seems like for miles, and it probably isn't, but it just, on a cool, crisp morning, it seems like you can hear them for forever, and I know that because it's so faint of a sound that it's really far away, but I don't see that thing right away, right? The Bible says when you pray, believe that you receive them. So when you release your faith and you say, I believe I receive blank, what you are doing in the spirit realm is you're hooking that thing. And the Bible says at that point you're to believe you receive it. Not believe you receive it in the natural realm. Believe that you receive it in the spiritual realm. That in the spirit, that thing's mine. In the spirit, that thing's mine. I've hooked that thing. Now, here's... actually, we're going to go right on to number two here. So what do you do after you hook it? I know, it seems simple, right? What do you do after you hook it?
Reel it in.
And you don't stop until the thing shows up.
That's right.
You know, I never have been sitting there when I've heard a turkey gobble back at me. There's been birds I've worked for hours, hours and hours, where they'll just stay out there and strut, get in a strut zone, just strutting back and forth, and it doesn't sound like they're getting any closer, and I got to do different things. And I've never sat there and said, or when I've hooked a fish and I'm reeling it in, how long do I have to do this for? Until I can see it.
Amen.
Until the thing's in the boat. Until the turkey's, I can pick it up by its legs and it going home with me.
Amen.
That's how long you do it for. And people say, how long do I have to do this for? Until it shows up.
Amen.
I'm gonna show you now, step two, what do you do after you hook the thing? After you get that thing, you believe it's God's will, you release your faith, boom, you hook that in the spirit. What do? You hold on till it comes and you don't unhook.
Amen.
You hold on till it comes and you don't unhook. And I'm going to show you what you do as you're holding on to that thing. And so many times, people have got themselves all worked up. Pastor will preach on healing. Boom, they're fired up. Healing's for me. Boom, pastor preaches on prosperity. Healing's for me. Prosperity's for me, favors for me, all these things. They'll go out and release their faith, and they'll wake up the next day, and that mountain of bills will be staring them in the face. They'll wake up the next day, and they'll feel in their body. Faith never feels their body, because faith ain't about feelings. That's the whole thing. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. You can't be a sight Christian if you want to receive from God. You got to learn to have the spiritual eyes of faith. You got to be able to see it in the spirit realm before you see it in your natural realm. And until you get to that point, you won't receive it in the natural realm. But my point is so many people, they get fired up, they'll release their faith, and they'll hook that thing. And you know, there's different levels of hooking things as well. You know, some people go, oh, I just read a verse, I saw that healing was for me, okay, I believe I'm healed. And you didn't really hook that thing, you're not really convinced. But there's other times you get it so down in your heart, you know healing's for you. You know prosperity's for you. You know, you can set a line on a hook different ways. Oh, it's the pole's nibbling. Oh. Hook that fish, hook it, no. Bam! Right up in that thing, right? Oh, get them good, glory to God. And when some people will hook that thing. They'll know, they'll be so excited. Life will spring up. Pastor, wow, healing, God wants me healed, and God wants me prosperous, and God wants me this. And they hook that thing. And then it doesn't show up. And so you know what they do to unhook it? Instead of saying, Lord, I thank you, I believe I received that thing. Where's it at? Whew, hook just fell off. When's it going to come? Hook just fell off. Why aren't I seeing it? This doesn't work. It's taking too long. And then you go right back into the doubt and unbelief. And you know what you did? You unhooked. You unhooked. And so now what you're doing is you're sitting there reeling and reeling and reeling with nothing on the end. And days are going by and you're wondering and you're starting to blame God. You're starting to blame the pastor. This faith business doesn't work. Yeah. I can't help it if you unhook. If I'm calling a turkey and he's coming in, he's enjoying what he's hearing, and he's all puffed up, all happy to thinks he's coming in to getting some loving. The only loving he's going to get is a 5-shot lead in his head. That's about the only loving he's about to get. Praise God. But he thinks he's getting some other kind of loving, and all of a sudden he's 150 yards out there. But if we have any PETA people in here, I'm so sorry right now. Forgive me. I repent. And so I see that turkey out there, 150 yards. If I stop calling and he loses interest and walks away, that's not anybody's fault but my own.
That's right.
You determine whether or not you hook on and hold. Think about a bull rider, right? They don't get on top of that bull and just say, hey, just use my pinky and my thumb. Just see if I can hold on to this thing for 8 seconds. Boom, they're chucked off, right? What do they do, man? They wrap thing, grabbing onto that bull, right? Holding on. See if I can outlast that bull and that buzzer. And hooking up and holding on, right? Getting on that thing. You hook that thing by faith and you hold on to that thing. Heather, would you go to Hebrews 10 and verse 23? Hallelujah. Hebrews 10 and verse 23. Praise God. I bet we could all, again, do it. Bible says let a man examine himself. Bible says examine yourself to see whether you be in the faith. Yeah. The Bible tells you examine yourself to see whether or not you're in faith. Well, we're doing that tonight. Maybe you hooked on, but so what? Just hooking the fish isn't enough. He's got to stay hooked. He's got to be reeled in. Just hooking the turkey with one response isn't enough. I got to keep bringing him closer and closer to me. You might have hooked on, but did you let go? Did you let off? Did you stop confessing? Did you stop smiling? Did you stop believing? Did you change your words? Did you change your attitude? Did you stop going in the direction God was telling you to go? Well, I didn't see it. You know, I don't have time to show you tonight. God told Abraham he'd be a father of many nations at age 75. That thing didn't come to pass till he was 100, and it wasn't God's fault. If you go back, if we had time, we will sometime, and look at that, there were spots where Abraham's faith was up and down, up. What was he doing? Unhooking. Unhooking. But when, Romans 4 says, when he became fully persuaded, that's when the promise showed up. When there was no more wavering, no more doubt. Praise God. Hebrews 10 and verse 23, it says, let us hold fast. One translation says, let us get a firm grip. The bull rider. Firm grip on that thing, right? Firm grip on that thing. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. You know why he's telling you to hold on tight? Because the winds of doubt are going to blow in. The winds and the trials of circumstances are going to blow. And if you're not holding on tight, you're going to get knocked off that bull. And you're not going to see the victory line. And so he's saying you got to hold on without wavering. What's wavering? Well, one night, I believe I receive. A week later, where's it at? Unhook, kick him off the bull. Land on your rump. And wonder why it's not happening. Wonder why it's not coming in. Heather, if you go to James chapter 1, let's see where I want to go here. So one, you believe you receive, you hook on that thing, and then you hold fast to your confession. James chapter 1, in let's go to verse 6. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed with the wind. Now notice verse 7. For let not that man think he'll receive anything from the Lord. So guess what? When you unhook and you start changing your confession, which unhooks the thing, and you start moping around, and you start, what you're showing up in church with your smile, but you're going and talking to your spouse in doubt and unbelief, and you're laying there at nighttime grumbling and moaning, and you're unhooking. That's not God's fault when it doesn't show up. Because He already told you, if you don't hold on, if you waver on this thing, I can't do anything for you.
Right. That's good.
Hebrews 10:23 again, Heather. Hooking up and holding on, praise God. So how do you hold on? What does that mean to hold fast to the profession of our faith? That means when you say, I believe, I receive, you hold on to that confession until the thing shows up.
Amen.
So your job then is to have a desire or need, which should be simple. When I'm broke, it's easy to want to not be broke. When I don't feel good in my body, it's easy to desire healing. My job is to believe I receive, hook that thing by faith, and then what my job is to do is to hold fast the profession of my faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. It will show up if I don't let go. It's a matter of outlasting the devil. Remember we talked about that last week in the offering, how annoying I can be? And I'll outlast people. You know, there's certain things where if someone says to me, they start to tell you something, I say, oh, man, never mind, it wasn't that important. No. Don't dangle the carrot out for me and not tell me the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And when that happens in my family, you better believe I will wear you out until I get the final answer. If you're going to dangle it out there, I'm going to wear you out until you tell me. I don't care how annoyed you get with me. I don't care how angry, upset you get with me. You're going to tell me or I'm going to make your life miserable.
That's right.
Right? Praise God. Maybe some of you have dealt with that with me, and I just, if you tell me you got something, I'm going to dig and dig and dig till I get to the bottom of that thing and help you. Yeah, so don't let it go.
Amen.
Outlast. The bull rider that stays on and holds on and outlasts is the winner. That can stay on there the longest. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So every day, this is your job, what you do. Every day, you say, Father, I thank you. I receive, fill in the blank. I thank you, I receive. Every day you do that. Every day you're thanking God for that. The Bible says that Abraham was strong or strengthened in his faith when he gave glory to God. What did he do? He finally got persuaded and said that he did not consider the deadness of his body, he didn't consider his own body, neither the deadness of Sarah's womb, which was about dead, 100 years old. She was 90, Abraham was 100. So he stopped considering that, he became fully persuaded. That's when he got the promise. That's when he got the promise. And the Bible gives us indicators. It says he was strengthened in his faith. See, your faith can get stronger. Your grip can get tighter. See, the devil is going to do everything he can to get your hand. You know, it's like this. If I go up to Vinny and I say, you know, Vinny, pull this out of my hand. Just like that. But if I say, Vinny, pull this out of my hand. It's going to be a little harder for Vinny. Now, he's good. If he wanted to, he could. He'd throw me over the seats. We all know. But I can make it harder for him. Right? Some people have just such a little bitty grip on what they're believing God for. And the slightest thing throws them off. If that's the case, I would think you'd have to go back to the ultimate number one step that we didn't look at tonight. But I gave you all the benefit of the doubt, so we won't have to do that. We won't have to do that. And every day you say, I believe I received that. And what I was getting at was that Abraham was strengthened in his faith when he gave glory to God. What was he doing every day? Father, I thank you I'm a daddy. I thank you there's a son coming. I thank you I'm a daddy. It don't matter what my body looks like. It don't matter what my wife's body looks like. It don't matter what medical science would tell us. I thank you I'm a daddy. And his strength was faith, or his faith was strengthened. His grip, his wrap around that thing was so strong. It was like the jaws of death, just gripping that thing. You're not going to pull that away from me. I'm having a baby. I don't care another year went by, another gray hair showed up, another wrinkle on my body showed up. I'm having a baby. Yeah. I don't care what bills, and here's what you have to understand. The devil is not going to be like, oh, they're in faith now. I'll go to the next person. Uh-uh. Isn't it interesting? Oh, this is good. That when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, God's people, were thrown in the fire, a fiery furnace that would kill anybody, right? But when it was God's people entering into a test, we know that the devil works through people. They turned the fire up 7 times hotter when they were getting ready to enter into the trial. It didn't get better for them. It got even worse for them. Why? Because the devil is so afraid. And when you hook that thing, he is going to unleash hell on you. Why? Try to shake you off that thing. Try to get you to release that thing. He's going to throw more bills at you. He's going to throw more troubles at you. More symptoms on your body. Different things. Why? To get you to drop the whole thing and to walk away and say it doesn't work. And he's saying, I got them. It will never work for them. Yeah. That's how this works. That's how this works. Believe you receive it before it shows up. He turned the fire up 7 times hotter. That fire would have killed anybody. But the devil said, I'm going to make it even worse for them. You might be in something real worse at the time that you're releasing your faith. Don't be surprised when it goes downhill. Don't be surprised when it goes the opposite direction. That's what we see. When that happens, I just know I got the devil on the run. I got the devil on the run. He is throwing, he is unleashing all hell out at me, trying to get me to loosen my grip. But see, if I don't loosen my grip, he is faithful, that promise. The Bible says this in Galatians 6 and verse 9, I believe it is. It says, if you faint not, you'll reap. Telling you that there's going to be opportunities to faint. There's going to be opportunities to let go. There's going to be opportunities to say, I'm done with this thing, to loosen your grip. There's going to be plenty of opportunities, but if you won't faint, you'll reap. You'll reap. If you can outlast him, if you can be more persistent than the devil and just outlast that stinking booger, right? It's about the nicest thing I could think of saying right there that won't get me into trouble. Praise God. Hallelujah. So number one, you have a desire, you release your faith simply by saying, Lord, I believe I receive. Now, if you don't believe you receive, go back to number one, ultimate number one, right? I should have just said that was number two, but anyways. Ultimate number one is getting faith on the subject, right? Yeah. What is faith? Faith is this bottle going to hit the floor, yes or no, when I drop it? Yeah, you all believe that, don't you? You're not even wavering on that, right? You don't think anything, like it's good gravity's going to stop, right? We know it's going to hit the ground. You don't release your faith until, thank you, you don't release your faith until you believe that when I say that thing for healing, I hooked healing. I hooked the finances. And if you're not at that place of faith, because that's what faith is, a fully persuasion, a full belief, nothing wavering. When you're believing for money, it doesn't matter what happens at your job the next day. When you're believing for money, it doesn't matter what happens to your car. It doesn't matter what happens to gas prices and everything. That does not determine whether or not. See, because Abraham's body getting older was not the determining factor on whether or not the son would show up. His faith was. The natural pointed to everything. No, it wouldn't happen. Your wife's getting older. You're getting older. You're defying the odds. You know, nature says you can't do this. Her womb is dead. Everything naturally said no way. But his faith said, oh yeah, there's a way. Amen. What I'm trying to say is, when the bills got higher, Abraham didn't say, well, I guess I'm not having a son. When the symptoms got worse, Abraham didn't say, well, guess I'm not having a son. He said, God promised me a son.
Amen.
And he's faithful, that promise. I'm going to hold fast. And it wasn't until Abraham became, remember when Sarah laughed at God? They weren't in full faith. It took them a while to get to the place of being fully persuaded, because so many people say, I'm going to have to wait 25 years. Not if you're in faith, you don't. God didn't just say, oh, let's make Abraham be in faith for 25 years. No, it would have happened a lot sooner, but God can't supersede somebody's faith. He can't. You know, I know this to be true. I know this with my truck for years. I'm just going to tell off on myself. For years, I had a desire for a truck. I'd hear Dr. Dufresne teach. This was, oh man, years ago when he first came to Family Church. And I'd hear him talk about things you need and desires and show me in the Word that God, and all this revelation was coming to me. And I'd get so excited. And I'd be driving around a clunker and a piece of junk that you know, you even put your worst enemy in, right, for fear of what could happen to him in that thing. And I remember getting out of services and hooking that thing by faith.
Amen.
And having a month go by and no truck showing up. Driving the same old hunk of junk and getting down about it. Well, see, I didn't know back then, but all I was doing was taking my grip off it. All I was doing was loosening my grip, and I'm wondering, why this faith thing must not work for me? It wasn't until I became fully persuaded. You know what happened? I became fully persuaded when I could drive by, when I could stop getting upset when my friends would get vehicles. My friends would get vehicles, and I'd loosen my whole grip. I'd be in faith, I got a truck coming, my friend would get a truck. That never works for me. Lord doesn't love me as much as you. Just loosen my grip. Loosen my grip. What have you loosened your grip on? And you're wondering, why isn't it coming? You've loosened your grip, right? And if you haven't loosened your grip, just keep holding on. Just keep holding on. He's faithful to that promise. Praise God. Just keep holding on. Keep holding on. And so when I became fully persuaded and people would get trucks and I'd celebrate with them and I'd be just fired up because I know I'm getting one. When I could drive by down Washington Street in Jamestown, down by all the car dealerships and see the brand new trucks and look at those things and say, you know what? One of those is coming to me. All that is a piece of metal on wheels. All that is a piece of metal on rubber. That's all a truck is, with some wires thrown in there and some fancy little things. That's all it is. That's nothing for God. Yeah. Wasn't until then that the truck actually showed up. People say, oh, Pastor, you're such a faith giant getting that truck. No, I've failed so many times not getting a vehicle that I needed. Well, I took my hands off it. And I can tell you all sorts of stories about that.
Sure.
Praise God. You got to hook up and hold on. Praise God. Did Dr. Dufresne have a sermon like that? Hook up and hold on. Do you remember?
His son.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought. I knew I was getting that somewhere, that I heard that before. Hold on till it comes and don't unhook. So I believe I receive it. Every day. Father, I believe I receive it. I believe I receive it in that unseen realm, right?
Amen.
And number three, and we'll close with this. James 2 and verse 20. James 2 and verse 20. But will you know, vain man, that faith without works is dead? In those verses there, it says, you show me faith and I'll show you works. True faith has works with it.
Amen.
What do you mean by works, Pastor Mike? Well, number one, it's important to remember this. Let me just say it this way. A lot of times, one thing that we can all do that would be good works is our confession.
Sure.
Our confession every day is a work of faith. What do I mean? I believe I receive. You wake up, the bills are still there. When you say, I believe I receive that money, that's a work that you believe what you're saying. That you believe that you're actually going to receive what you can't see because in the face of opposition, you're still saying the right things. Your demeanor is a work of faith. Your shout, your praise, the way you treat other people. Because I'll tell you what, when you start getting into financial trouble and it starts pressing on you and you start treating other people bad because of the pressure, you can say you're in faith all you want, but if you're nothing but a grumpster and treating everybody bad, that's not faith. Getting upset at everybody else for what they have, and that's not faith. So your demeanor is an act that everybody can do. Your confession is an act that everybody can do. You know, being joyful and rejoicing, saying in the confession. The confession is the first work of faith, saying you believe what you receive. But real quick to tell you this, because there are things that you need to know that what you're believing for, the Spirit of God will lead you at times to do things that will be a work of faith that will help cause that thing come to pass.
Amen.
What do you mean by that, Pastor Mike? Well, here's an example. This is why a lot of times for things, for example, if you're believing God to be healed of whatever you're going through and to throw away your medication, unless you know that you know you're supposed to throw away that medication, you better not throw away that medication.
Right.
There was a minister that came to Rhema and preached and told people, God told me to give away my vehicle. So he gave away his vehicle. And within a week's time, a brand new vehicle showed up. He told that to the Rhema students. So a handful of Rhema students went out and gave their cars away. The Spirit of God didn't tell them to do that. And guess what? Brother Hagin said they walked that whole semester to school. Yeah, doing things. If you hear someone testify, I threw away my medication. I know people that have thrown away their medication in the garbage and it got them into worse trouble than, by their faith wasn't there yet. Their faith wasn't at a level of doing that yet. But if the Spirit of God tells you to do it, your faith's obviously there, and there's something there, praise God. So they get rid of all their vehicles, and they're walking to school, praise God. He didn't tell everybody that they should do it. Remember the whole thing with my house, and I'm walking the dogs, or I'm walking the property, and Courtney's ahead of me, the realtor's behind me. And the Spirit of God says, when you get back there, you tell them all the money's just waiting to change hands. Well, I had gotten a denial from a bank and a denial from a private lender, and the Lord's telling me, do it. Amen. Lord's telling me, do it. Well, that's the Spirit of God leading me into a work. So when I open my mouth and tell the realtor, no worries, it's a cash deal, all the money's there. That's a spirit. Now, if I did that on my own, I could get into trouble.
Sure.
I could get into trouble. Praise God. Someone recently told me the story about they were going to be removed from their house that they lived in for years. And they said, oh, no, I've lived here. This is my home. This is where my family's been growing up. And so you know what they did? They started painting the walls.
Amen.
Started painting the walls.
Yeah.
Not even their walls. Led to do it. An act of faith. I know people that have been told they can't have a baby. They'll start putting up a nursery. Start painting a nursery. Why? I have things I'm believing for on my property that in my bond I say, that's going to go right there. Don't you put anything there, Caleb. Don't you put anything there, Abby. Courtney, you leave that space alone. That's for daddy's thingamabobber that's going right there. Praise God. Yeah, it's true. It's true. Why? A work of faith. Faith without works is dead. And it all starts with your confession. It all starts with your demeanor. It all starts with your attitude. But put some sort of action to what you're believing God for. You know, I remember hearing many times ministers talking about, coming down with the flu. And you know what your body wants to do when you come down with the flu? Is what? Lay around, do nothing. And I remember Pastor Nancy telling the story that the Spirit of God said to her, a well person ought to be up by this time of day. You believe you're healed. Why are you in bed? Oh, put some action to it. I remember Brother Hagin was on the bed of sickness, had an incurable heart disease, paralyzed in his body. Came across Mark 11:24, learned that prayer, and the Spirit of God said to him too, what is a well person doing in bed at this time? Put some stinking action with your faith. So he just do anything he can, just lift his pinky up, just lift his arm up, just take one step. He'd get off that bed and wobble. He wouldn't be able to stand up. But what's he doing? Putting action to his faith. Because faith without works is dead. You tell me you're in faith and you come in here mopey, I'm going to tell you, you better go back and hook up. Because you've let that thing go long ago. It's amazing. I hear. It'd just be best not to talk to the pastor. Because a lot of people give me lots of illustrations by just having little conversations with them. Yeah. People say, I'm in faith and I'm believing. And then the next thing out of their mouth is, I don't know how it's going to happen or if it's going to happen. Let me tell you something. If is the badge of doubt. You say if, all you're doing is planting a big old badge on your chest saying, I'm a doubter.
Yeah.
There's no if in faith.
Yeah.
There's no if in faith. Praise God. So number one, you release your faith and you hook up. You hook on that thing and you hold on. You confess every single day. Number two, you confess, I thank you, Lord. What's that doing? You're strengthening that faith. You're tightening your grip on that thing. And don't be surprised when the fire gets turned up 7 times hotter for you to get you to let go of that thing. Don't be alarmed. Oh, I'm doing everything right and I'm going to church and I'm tithing. Yeah, no duh. Yeah, no duh. That's why it's happening. Exactly. That's why things are going tough. Because your marriage is about to turn the corner. Because your kids are about to turn the corner. Because your finances are about to turn the corner. Because your health's about to turn the corner. And the only thing that can stop you from doing that is if you let go because it got too hard. The bull started kicking too much. Your grip wasn't on there tight enough. It's only one. So you release your faith, praise God. You hold on till it comes by the confession of your faith, firm grip, and then you put some works to your faith. You can, in the works, if you don't get anything from God, you just rejoice about it coming every day. You wake up every day thankful.
Amen.
Don't you, if you order something awesome from Cabela's, don't you, fill in the blank for I don't understand why you wouldn't order anything awesome from Cabela's, but whatever your thing is, aren't you like anticipating every day the UPS truck or the FedEx truck and just, ooh, it could be coming today. If you can have enough faith for something silly like a little package, shouldn't every day we be anticipating and thanking God? And if we're believing we received it, faith never says, where's it at? Faith already received it. Faith already received it when it prayed. Praise God. And so you hook up, you hold on, and you put some actions to your faith. And then number four, it shows up. Glory to God. It shows up. That's simple. See how easy God's made faith? He put handles on it so we can all get it, so we can all grasp it and all pick it up. So I'm going to encourage you tonight, go home, get alone. What are those things in your life that you can honestly diagnose if you're honest with yourself to say, you know what, my confession unhooked that thing. My demeanor unhooked that thing. I had no acts for that. I really never even thought that would come to pass. What are those things that you know you need, those things that you know you're desiring for? Well, you know how to get them now. Hook up and hold on and don't let go until the fish is in the boat. I remember I went on Lake Erie. My last time I'll ever go on Lake Erie because I spent more time down over the side barfing my brains out on Lake Erie than I did fishing. But I remember, you know, you'd catch those big lake trout, and it's not like reeling in a little walleye. It's not like reeling in a little sunfish off the dock. It's just keep reeling. Dad would say, just keep reeling. Just keep reeling till that thing comes in. Till that thing surfaces and we get the net under that thing. Just keep confessing. Dig in. Don't let go. Know that the fire is going to be turned up, but don't let go and that thing will show up. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you tonight. Thank you for the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Father, if we diagnose ourselves, we're going to change some things. We're going to make some adjustments. We're going to rehook up. And there ain't nothing against rehooking up. If we need to, it's a good place to be honest with ourselves and just to do it. Praise God. Father, we love you. We thank you. It's never on your end. You're not the one dangling it. And oh, in God's timing. No, your timing's always right now. Your timing's always blessing. Praise God. You're just waiting for us to cooperate. So Lord, help them, encourage them, Father, enlighten their eyes, open the eyes of their understanding towards this. Father, we thank you for fruit that's going to come from this message. Father, we give you the praise and glory. If by chance you're listening to this right now by live stream or by in the archives and you're not born again, if you could honestly say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven if today were my last day on planet Earth, that means you need Jesus. Just simply say, Lord, if you believe in Jesus, if you believe he died and he rose again, you're a candidate, you're qualified for salvation, to get into this wonderful plan that he has for you, to start operating by faith, starting to see the natural change, glory to God. If you can say, I don't know where I'd go, but you believe in Jesus and you believe he rose again, simply cry out to him. The Bible says if you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. So if you're listening to this, say, I need Jesus, and you cry out to him, send me an email, give me a phone call, let me know, we'll get you hooked up in a good Bible teaching church, and we'll get you on the path to the greatest life you could ever imagine. Father, we love you tonight, Lord. Thank you for teaching us. Oh, just thank him for the revelation we've received tonight. Oh, he taught us. He pointed things out. It helps me to see why I didn't receive some things. Why some things took so long. It wasn't on your end. It never is. Oh, thank you, Lord. We love you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I believe I'm done. Have an awesome rest of the week. We'll see you Sunday morning, 10 o'clock. You're dismissed.